Good evening, listeners. I am Karen Adebani, and this evening, for the next hour and a half, I have the pleasure to have the two candidates for the second district supervisors race. I want to just state that the second district is, I consider, unique in a way that no other district in the county. We have five districts, in that it is basically all the city of Ukiah, and then it extends a little bit to the south and a little bit to the north, but it mainly encompasses the city of Ukiah. So, as you would think, the issues that relate to the second district and the issues between the second district and the supervisors can be unique in that way. So we will be addressing some of those issues tonight. So the candidates that are running are Mari Roden and Mo Mulhern. And we're going to start with a two-minute introduction. I've asked each one of these candidates to give you 2 minutes of an intro as to who they are, you know, why they're running, what skills they will bring to our Board of Supervisors. So we're going to start by the alphabetical. So Mulhern, you get to start first and give us 2 minutes of who you are and why you're running.
Great. Thanks, Karen. And thanks so much to everybody at KZYX for hosting this forum. Having a campaign during a pandemic has certainly been interesting, and I'm excited for this opportunity. I'm a born and raised Ukiahan. I have two daughters. One is 22. She's a real estate broker at W Real Estate, and I'm going to be a grandma in January, so that's so exciting. And then I also have a younger daughter. She is 10. She's in fifth grade at Grace Hudson English Language Academy. So I am a small business owner. I started out my adult career as a county employee. I went to work in the private industry and construction. Then the market tanked in 2008, and I decided to get my insurance license. I've been selling insurance ever since. In January of 2019, I was serving as the mayor of the city of Ukiah, and I announced that I was running for second district supervisor. As a city council member, there are a lot of things that I learned over the last 6 years, and the most important is that the city limits is an invisible line and nobody knows where it ends and where it begins, and you mentioned that at the beginning of the broadcast. Also, everything having to do with humans really happens at the county level. So homelessness, drug addiction, mental illness, that funding comes through the county. And in order to really affect change in those areas, I needed to run for supervisor. So I've been campaigning ever since, going to as many meetings as possible, learning as much as possible, meeting with people, figuring out how I can hit the ground running in January.
All right. Thank you, Mo Mulhern. And the other candidate that's with us this evening is Mari Roden. Mari Roden, 2 minutes of, you know, why you're running and what you bring to the table for the supervisors.
Thanks, Karen. I'm really happy to be here. I love Mendocino County. It's been my home for 28 years. I've raised two smart, hardworking, kind sons. One thing I know Mo and I have in common is that we're both going to be grandmothers. I, too, am going to have one in January. I have started a grant writing business with my business partner, Kathy Hopper, that has brought in over $100 million in funding to Mendocino County for programs ranging from youth violence prevention to homeless services to economic development and even a segment of the Ukiah Rail Trail. I've served 3 terms on Ukiah City Council, including 2 stints as mayor. And I've been providing leadership and making tough choices to address the impacts of the 2008 financial collapse. And I think now more than ever, we need tested leaders on the Board of Supervisors who have made tough choices, have a vision for the future, and the technical skills to get us there. I'm honored to offer our community my experience, knowledge, and abilities that I've gained from my decades of service to serve as your next second district supervisor.
Very good. Okay. What I had asked the other candidates, and I want to ask each of you, is let's start with, we'll go with Mari, because you just, I'm going to switch back and forth with who gets to go first. So, Mari, for as being a supervisor representing the second district, what do you feel the top three issues for you would be as a supervisor representing your district at the county level? What would be your three critical issues that you might focus on?
So, Karen, may I ask you, is this a one-minute response?
Or no, what I'm sorry. Good. Thank you for asking that. No, this is I've expanded this. So this is going to be a two-minute, because this is a good topic, and then we might do some follow-up on it. But, yeah, 2 minutes for each of you to answer that. I'm going to be the same question will be coming to Mo. All right?
Sure. Well, the issues that primarily affect or especially affect the second district are, first and foremost, homelessness. You know, homelessness in the county seat here is first and foremost a humanitarian crisis. But it also affects our businesses. It affects residents. It affects the perception of outsiders of our town. So that is one of the top issues. We may be getting to it in more in depth later in our time together. The second area is housing. And I'm not talking about a retrograde 1950s single-family residential home kind of housing. I'm talking about a forward-looking, smart infill housing that's easy and affordable for developers to create. And the type of housing that reflects the development imperatives that are required during a time of climate change and the need for fire preparedness, where sprawling out into open lands is not safe. And finally, the third priority for this district, I think, is the government services, and how in the Ukiah Valley, it's really a tangled mess of duplicative government authorities. You know, for example, we have three government agencies providing water to people. We have duplication and redundancy, and this bogs down progress for development of housing and overall economic development for the Ukiah Valley. So those are my three areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that would be at the district level, at the state.
Those are the priorities I see for the Ukiah, for this district.
For the district. Okay, so let's go to Mo Mulhern. We'll go with, what do you think is for your second district? What would be your top three priorities representing your district?
Housing. Housing absolutely cannot move forward without partnerships between the city and the county. The city of Ukiah 2 years ago was one of 12 cities across the entire state that was meeting our rural housing needs assessment goals. It's incredibly important that the county work with the city as we move forward to make sure that we have infill development to protect our environment. The county has a goal of 1,300 units in the next 7 years. And without working with multiple jurisdictions, it's not just the city of Ukiah, it's the city of Willits, it's the city of Fort Bragg. We really need county supervisors that are going to reach across all of the jurisdictions to be able to move policies forward that are creating more housing and infill development in all of our cities and across the region. We definitely cannot talk about what is important without discussing disaster preparedness and the environment. The fires that rage across our entire communities are overwhelmingly destroying what we have here. So we definitely need to move forward with making sure we have wildfire mitigation and protecting the environment. Also, economic development is crucial. If you talk about why we have homeless people, we're looking at generations of homelessness, drug addiction, mental illness. It's this entire circle of people that have lived here their entire lives that really they can't get out of the circle that they're in. They, you know, it's generations going back and forth. So we need to protect the youth of our community and make sure that they're given opportunities with a strong economy to be able to have jobs and raise a family and be successful in our community.
Okay, thank you. That was Mo Mulhern. All right, let's go back to Mari Roden. So we talked about the issues for your second district, which is, like we said, mainly the Ukiah area. What do you see at the, what would be your top two issues for the county? Are they same, different, similar than for your district? What would be the top two issues you'd like to address if you're elected to the Board of Supervisors? And give you a minute for that one.
I'm sorry, Karen.
There you go.
The three issues I see are important countywide. They absolutely affect people in the second district. My first set of three were really district specific issues, but countywide, obviously, all members of the Board of Supervisors' number one priority is the health, safety, and economic well-being of residents. And that's why COVID-19, the management of COVID-19 is essential. We have to make smart decisions based on science in our continuing response. And so that's number one. Related to that is economic rebuilding. We are going to have a tremendous amount of economic rebuilding to do in the wake of this pandemic. So we're going to have to maximize our state and federal funds, our ability to draw down state and federal funds. We have to be poised and prepared, ready for that, continue the excellent work of West Company, the collaboration that West Company has been providing with the county to ensure that our small businesses get back on their feet. And finally, of course, it's disaster preparedness. Primarily, we're thinking of fire here. And that is related to a number of fronts, our fire preparedness, and it's building resiliency. It's building resiliency for individuals countywide and helping, create a sensible space around homes. It's supporting the fire councils, the fire safe councils for Mendocino County, and then all the regional area fire safe councils. And it's also working with partners in forest management, controlled burns and fire breaks and those sorts of things. So those are the three countywide issues.
All right. Thank you. That was Mari Roden. Okay, Mo Mulhern, your three top countywide issues that you would address as a second district supervisor. And I will flip over the timer. There you go.
Thank you, Karen. You know, the issues that I discussed previously are really key priorities. You know, one of the things when I talk about housing and being able to work across jurisdictions is really also talking about the annexation and tax sharing. And unbelievably, it's taken decades for something as simple as the Brush Street Triangle annexation to move forward. I'm proud to be on the city council. We just moved forward an application for annexation, working towards how do we figure out how to make the Brush Street Triangle, the Masonite property, and the city's water plant be included in the city of Ukiah, where those folks that live there, they don't know that they're in a different jurisdiction. They think that they are city residents. Securing water reliability for all of our communities is crucial. Yesterday, I was on a call for the Potter Valley project from 8:30 until 4:30. And then in the evening, I went to the the groundwater sustainability community meeting. The Potter Valley project is something that sometimes second district candidates don't get asked about, but it's just as crucial to the Ukiah Valley as it is to the first district.
All right. Is that it?
Sure.
Oh, I was just asking. You kind of hesitated. I was going to say that. Okay. So, my little timers here, I have these going back and forth. Listeners, if you just tuned in, you are listening to our forum for the second district supervisor's race. The candidates are Mari Roden and Mo Mulhern, and I'm going to be going back and forth and asking them questions. And then we're going to 8 o'clock. Around 7:30, I will open up the phone lines for questions from you, the listeners. At that point, I would like you to have very succinct questions, so start thinking about them now. No attacks, no pontificating. We just want to put as many questions to these candidates as possible tonight, so we have you informed voters out there in and out and about. Mo, I want to, this is a question for both of you, but we're going to start with Mo Mulhern. You talk about COVID, and it's really had an impact on the county. You've seen how the county has addressed it. As a supervisor coming in, what would you be doing? How do you see yourself coming to the Board of Supervisors, and what would be your priorities, and how would you be working with the COVID situation in the county? Would you be doing anything different? What do you have to add?
You know, I don't think I want to armchair quarterback what the county has done so far. Of course, there are things that I've seen that I would have done differently. I can tell you what I have done as a city council member is work with Jason Lyles from Senator McGuire's office and city council members, city manager staff, and county staff. We meet every Thursday to figure out economic development and recovery, especially, you know, of course, what it looks like to bridge across all of these jurisdictions and to be able to continue to support our small businesses. You know, the West Company has done a good job of administering grants, and a lot of businesses have been able to get small grants for $5,000 to adapt to deal with the COVID crisis. When in July, when the public health order switched so that the restaurants could only have takeout or dine out, I started a streetery, an outdoor dining experience, just to try to help the restaurants have more overflow. As a supervisor, I think that I would definitely be using my regional partnerships to be able to move forward, advancing any kind of ideas of how we can support small businesses and continue following the public health order, being safe, but also protecting our small businesses in the economy.
Okay, thank you. Mari Roden, COVID, it's hitting the county. You know what the county's doing. When and if you were elected to the board, anything you'd do differently, any suggestions, and all of that?
Well, I believe everybody at the county, the supervisors, the health officers, the deputy health officers, and all the staff at public health are doing their very best. This is once in a century pandemic here that we're experiencing. Everybody's doing their best. And I want to, one of the ways, though, in which the county has fallen short is in its communication with our large and growing monolingual Spanish-speaking community in Mendocino County. And as a result of that, or partially as a result of that, it's not all because of the problem of lack of communication. But anyway, lack of communication between the health office, public health officer orders, and the large monolingual Spanish-speaking population. And I'm proud of the work that I did with Jackie Orozco in creating Spanish language videos that translated they summarized the public health orders. Those videos that we created were viewed by thousands of people. So I'm really proud of that. I'm also proud of the endorsements I've received from Andy Corin, our current health officer, our former health officer, Mimi Duhan, former deputy public health officer, Jim Flaherty.
Okay.
Sorry,
your time's up, but
have 1 minute there?
Okay. Yeah, sorry. That one was a quick one, 1 minute. Yeah, I'm going to keep the other ones unless we get into some big projects here.
Okay.
Let's go back. That was Mari Roden. I want to go back to Mo Mulhern and ask. I'll ask you both of this. You both brought up the idea that we've really got hit with the businesses that moves in with the income that's coming into the county. It's going to be a terrible budget season coming in with the shortages and all of that. So Mo, how do you, as a supervisor, how would you feel, what would you be able to do to help businesses in this transition in time? And are there things that you as a supervisor could do to help our local small businesses who are getting hit the hardest? As a supervisor, what could you do? What would you be willing to do? I'm going to give you a minute on that one.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we look at how our businesses can operate safely. And in the city of Ukiah, we actually changed our permitting process and made a 24-hour turnaround for temporary permits so that restaurants could operate outside or so that somebody could put a sidewalk sale out or whatever it is that the businesses might need. And the county really needs to look at a permitting process like that as well. What is it that the businesses need? What are going to be their barriers? Is it going to be setting up an outdoor dining area? Is it going to be setting up some type of extra room for clothing or whatever it is that might be? We are about to approach winter, and it's going to get even more challenging for especially the restaurants not being able to have indoor dining. I'm hoping that something comes soon from the state of California that will allow the restaurants to have more flexibility with indoor dining like they did with the nail salons.
Great. Okay. Mari, Roden, the same question. As a supervisor, sitting supervisors, what would you suggest and be doing to help small businesses and get the economy back up and running?
Well, first and foremost, we have to control the pandemic. Yeah. Until we can control the pandemic, we can't safely open the economy. And the Board of Supervisors has very little say in that. The state has a tier system. There are measures that control how and when we open our businesses. But we as a county can, continue to do the work that we've been doing with enforcement of people violating the mask order. And we can continue or maybe perfect a surgical approach to controlling the pandemic where we have, excellent contact tracing that identifies outbreaks and responds immediately. We need to continue, the testing we have from OptumServe. It's wonderful right now. We're getting results within days, but the sooner that we can get results, the more able we're going to be to, the sooner we're going to be able to open schools and get towards normalcy. So the sooner we do these things, the sooner we get our economy back on track and return to a sense of normalcy.
All right. Thank you so much for that one. All right. So let's jump. I'm going to jump to cannabis. All right. There's been a long, long process of trying to get the cannabis programs up and running. The county spent a lot of time and staff energy to try to integrate cannabis, the tax, the projects, and all of that. Mari, what are your feelings as a supervisor about the cannabis industry, the process that's been happening? The Board of Supervisors right now are re-looking at the process the county has. What is your opinion of all of that, the whole industry, and how we make it work, or do we make it work?
I'm going to give you 1 minute or two.
You know what? Let's do a minute on that, and we'll do follow-up if we need to, if that's okay.
Okay, so I'm going to make this as quick as I can. I'd first say that my view on this issue rests on the fundamental fact that cannabis, legal and illegal, is the county's biggest economic driver. So we need to figure out a way to funnel as many cultivators into the legal market as we can. And this is important for economic reasons. Obviously, the county is going to need to garner as much tax revenue as possible from cultivators. So that's important. We need to funnel people into the legal market for environmental reasons and also for neighborhood and community peace of mind issues. The current system for permitting is broken. It's expensive, it's difficult, it's disjointed, and we have hundreds, maybe a thousand applicants who are lost in the system. Even our own county staff doesn't know what's happened to some of those permits. So we need to fix the current system and make it possible for people to enter the legal market. It's the job of the Board of Supervisors to make sure that our policies and our procedures match the needs and desires of what people say they want. And at this moment in time, our system is failing us.
All right. Thank you. Mari, Roden, again, the cannabis industry, it's been a mess. Where do you stand on the whole industry and what's been happening?
Oh, Mulhern. You met.
I'm sorry. Mo Mulhern, I'm sorry. It's been a long day. Mo Mulhern, it's your turn.
No problem. It happens all the time. Don't worry about it. Trust me. So, the City of Ukiah had a cannabis ad hoc, of which I was a member with council member Jim Brown. And essentially what we did when we created the City of Ukiah cannabis policy was said, follow the state rules. Prop 64 legalized cannabis. You can have a legal business now. Please follow the state rules, fit into the right zoning, and we're good. Carry on with your business. I realize that that's a little bit different than what the county can do because they have, they're not an urban district like the city. However, I do know that our current ordinance was essentially written by one supervisor. And I think that the feedback from the community was not as much pertinent information as we should have had when we were moving forward with the policy. So I definitely think that there are some things that we can do to improve. Having a CDFW biologist engaged in the conversation, rolling out the equity program, either with the Mendocino Cannabis Alliance or with a different group. Get the technology going to organize those files that are stuck in planning and building. And most importantly, use the carrot and not the stick. We've set up a system that makes people really afraid to enter into the regulated market. And what we need most in our community is to have those cultivators into a legal permitted system.
All right. Thank you for both of you. Mari Roden, any follow-up on that? Did you get everything you needed out on that topic, you think?
You know, I think I really did.
Okay, good. Just giving you,
you
an opportunity.
I can add a little data that I have on the, you know, on the how big of an economic driver cannabis is. That we, you know, we have about 10,000 cultivators in Mendocino County, and the economic value of their efforts is 7 to 10 times greater than all agricultural, other agricultural industries combined. And if you actually, if you take forestry out of that, the cannabis industry is still 2 to 3 times greater. So it's a, you know, potential source of, important source of revenue for the county. So we need to figure this out.
All right. Mo, any follow-up on that? Mo Mulhern?
Sure. I mean, I would just say that we also need to take the stigma out of cannabis cultivation. We're not talking about, we're talking about nurses and teachers and the lady at PTA and soccer games with you. These people are not strangers. They're not statistics. They're our friends and neighbors, and we want them to be successful, and that's really important.
All right. Thank you. So kind of a segue out of the cannabis industry is we're going to go into public health and safety around, that would be the sheriff's department and dealing with the cannabis issues. There's been a lot in the news lately about home invasions and all of that. And so what, let's start with, I can't remember who I ended up with last time, so we'll just jump in with start with Mari. I guess the question is the sheriff's budget, that's one of the line items where the supervisors actually have discretion as part of that budget and doing it. In the past, in the budget line for public health and safety, there's been a guesstimate, I guess you would say, they put of either budgeting what they did the last year and then just, you know, if there's overtime, you just pay it because you have to pay it, but it's not been part of the budget. So understanding that we're coming up into austere times with the COVID and our budget, how do you see dealing with the pressing public issues, public safety issues from the sheriff's department and the budget process that would come to you as a supervisor? And I said I was going to start with Mari, correct?
Sure.
Start that. And let's
sure.
let's you take a couple minutes for that. How's that?
Right. Well, I think this idea I have is an insight that I've gained from my years on city council and my particular interest in land use issues and my service as the chair of LAFCO, the Local Agency Formation Commission, after Jerry Mello was tragically murdered. And I was very, very interested in land use issues. And one of the consequences of the problem I was talking about earlier of duplicative, you know, government entities is that weirdly, you know, the city of Ukiah is kind of limited in size, and so the county sheriff deputies need to respond, or they're, you know, supposed to respond to calls that are really in the urban area of Ukiah, and like in around Laws Avenue and to the south. Those are areas outside the jurisdiction of the city, but it's inefficient for a county deputy who's covering territory that stretches, I'm not sure exactly what the territory for one of these deputies is who's assigned to the valley, but I would assume it covers Hopland, it covers the eastern side of the valley, and so on. It's a huge area, maybe even Redwood Valley. So to respond to areas that are really close to the urban areas of Ukiah just doesn't make financial sense. I just saw that the sheriff has put out a statement about the need to redirect his deputies from patrol up to Covelo because we have, you know, incredibly violent situations happening up there that require more of his deputies. If we could fix the problems here in the Ukiah Valley having to do with our jurisdictional boundaries, maybe that could alleviate and enable him, the sheriff that is, to afford to maybe transition some of those duties from the urban area of Ukiah up to where it's really needed.
Interesting. Okay. Mo Mulhern, same question. Public safety, the sheriff, what's going on? The budget, one of the biggest, it's one of the discretionary fund that the supervisors have control over, it's one of the biggest line items. What's your feeling about that?
Well, first of all, I want to talk about the fact that the county supervisors are essentially creating the sheriff's budget, and it's so crucial that they work directly with the sheriff to make sure that the needs are being met. And I'm proud to have Sheriff Matt Kendall's endorsement. I think that collaborating with the board in a more proactive manner would move us way forward in having appropriate numbers of officers. Why do we have so much overtime? Because we don't have the appropriate numbers of officers that can actually do the work. And why do we not have enough officers? There's things that we can do. We can do bonuses, we can make sure that there's housing, we can change policies around beards and tattoos. There's a variety of things that we can look at to entice and recruit more officers. And Sheriff Kendall says often the most important thing is to recruit and hire from within and keep our local kids into these law enforcement positions because they know the area, they know the people, they are trusted as community members. And to me, that's crucial to make sure that we're hiring the right people in those positions. The other thing that I wanted to talk about really is we need to get law enforcement out of the job of chasing homeless people around. That's really not their job, and they spend many hours on the streets just moving people from place to place. I think that is really something that social service workers can do. And it's more appropriate to have mental health workers or social services workers working with those individuals that are on the streets. There are laws on the books that don't allow you to camp or panhandle or whatnot. But I really do believe that the sheriffs have much more important things to do, like being in Covelo and protecting that community up there. So I really think that having a strategic plan around homelessness to make sure that we are not using law enforcement to move people around from place to place is crucial to also retaining and attracting officers that really want to do the job that they're assigned to do.
All right. Thank you for that. All right. So it is 5 minutes after 7, so there are probably some people that tuned it at 7 o'clock and going, what's going on? So what is going on is I'm Karen Adebani. You are listening to KZYX and KZYZ. And this evening I have the two candidates for the second district supervisor's race of Mendocino County. And we're doing a back and forth questioning so you can be an informed voter. All right. So let's move. That's from the public safety, which we're going to go into. You were both mentioned disaster preparation. And that's a big, broad topic, but it really starts with the fires and climate change. I think we can all say that we're not going to be out raking our forests. So it's something that is going to continue to be happening. So this one issue encompasses a lot of impact for the county. So let's start with Mo Mulhern. Climate change. The Board of Supervisors committed, put together a climate advisory committee. They don't have much money. All right. That's happening. The supervisors have directed that. The other part that comes in on this is Measure V, which was the dead standing trees, which is an issue for the county. We passed a ballot measure, a proposition, or whatever, it was an ordinance, I guess is what they called it. So that brings in the climate change and the fires and disaster preventiveness. So I'm going to give you a good 2 minutes to try to talk about the climate change, what you as the supervisor, I know we don't have a lot of control of the state issues, but you as a supervisor, what can you do locally to help policy-wise to do to help us as a community? So we were going to start with, I think it was Mari or Mo?
Mo.
Okay, we'll start with Mo. Mo, and then we'll go to Mari. So Mo, do that. You got a good solid 2 minutes or more to encompass all of those.
Sure thing. So I think that when we talk about Measure V, we really need to talk about enforcement. The voters voted to enforce the dead standing tree ordinance, and I have no idea how many millions of dollars the County of Mendocino spends on lawsuits. I know that when I became a council member, there were 14 active lawsuits. We were able to get that down to 5 or 6, which is still not good, but at least we can show that with collaboration and bringing everybody to the table, we can deal with some of these issues. And I really think that where we are with Measure V is like, just headbutting and egos, and we're not really able to even just do what the community asks us to do, and that's super frustrating to be on the outside of that. The Climate Action Committee that the Board of Supervisors created, I was really excited when I heard that that was coming. I've been participating in a small group in Ukiah that's called Climate Action Mendocino, and we've been tackling smaller problems like the mixed waste organics program, idling, just trying to tackle things at a grassroots level. But I really thought that that board, that organization that the supervisors created, would really be able to bring forward some policy changes that the boards could implement. And of course, as a supervisor, every single decision you're making, you should be looking at with a climate lens. You should be paying attention to the impact of the planet on every single project that's moving forward or approved. Super proud of the recycled water project that the city of Ukiah has done, and working towards finding some grants to do solar panels to make it our city of Ukiah not rely on the PG&E lines to bring electricity in. I wanted to talk for just a minute. I am on the disaster council for the city of Ukiah, and I remember that on October 5th of 2017, we held a presentation to get people ready for disasters, and there were about 5 people beyond myself. And then 4 days later, there were the fires in Redwood Valley and Potter Valley. And I think it's just incredibly important that our community is ready to act and be prepared for when there is a disaster like a fire, like a wildfire that rushes through like that. And of course, there are many other things that our community should be prepared for, earthquakes and floods. I mean, we have a lot of things that could happen in rural Northern California that we need to be prepared for with disasters. The city of Ukiah just released on their website the evacuation zones, and the county of Mendocino is currently working with MCOG to create their evacuation plans. I think the more that we can get this information out to the community that these plans exist, our community can begin to be prepared. My daughter and I pack our go bags probably, you know, every season to try to be ready and be prepared.
All right. Okay. So Mari Roden, that was a good 3 minutes, and I want to give you the same amount of time. It's a broad subject. We've got the Measure V for the dead standing trees, which feeds into the fires, which feeds into climate change. Where do you stance on all of these, and how, as you as a supervisor, do you think you could address this to help us all? All right?
Well, first of all, I support enforcement of Measure V. To other issues, climate change, I want to say, you know, to her credit, my opponent filed early for this position, and she won some early endorsements. But I'm proud to say that the Willits Environmental Center is the only environmental organization to have endorsed in this two-person race, and they endorsed me, and I'm really proud of that. We're seeing the effects of climate change everywhere right now. We're seeing it in the puddle that is Lake Mendocino these days. We're seeing it in the fires. We're seeing it in the smoke. The extremely high temperatures and hurricanes that are stronger and more frequent than they ever were. You know, the lack of federal action, the pathetic federal action on this front means that we locally need to be responsible for setting and meeting targets for transitioning away from fossil fuel and towards clean energy, which is one reason why, if I am on the Board of Supervisors, we will never, ever see offshore oil drilling on the Mendocino Coast, something which my opponent has said she needed more information about. So when I get to the Board of Supervisors, I pledge as my first action to bring a proposal to the board that we transition the county fleet immediately from combustion engines to electric. So that's something that we can do locally. I also support MCOG's efforts, the Mendocino Council of Governments' efforts to increase the number of charging stations all over the county. That includes hospitals, schools, shopping areas, everywhere, so that it makes it easy for people to survive on and travel on green energy. And there are many more things that we can do. The CAC has a list of wonderful recommendations that they're taking forward to the Board of Supervisors, all of which I support. We need to streamline permitting for renewable energy. We need to have better fuels management. And the list goes on. I'm not sure where my time is. So.
Oh, you've got more time. You've got over half a minute.
Yeah. Well, we just need to protect our oak woodlands. We need to encourage planting and regeneration. We need to discourage sprawling into these areas that are going to endanger human life as well. So, yeah, that's my response around climate change.
Very good. All right. Okay. That was Mari Roden. It's interesting how many of these topics kind of interweave with everything that's going on. We talk about the homelessness, and we talk about housing. You mentioned that, and this is in your district, but it's a county project. So we're gonna start with last time I started with Mari. Let's start with Mari. Mari Roden, there's a big project that is happening at the county right now. It's called Project Home Key. It's actually a situation where the county got a big grant from the state, $9.6 million, and they bought a hotel in Ukiah, actually, and they're going to be using it for housing. And that's a lot of money. It happened fast, and we as a county are going to have to maintain it later, similar to a big investment in Measure B. And so as a sitting supervisor, the project is on task now. It's moving ahead. As a supervisor and setting policy and watching the accountability of this project, how do you feel about the project, and what would be your oversight goals in this project to make sure that it works and gets done as a supervisor? So that's for Mari Roden.
Sure. In August, so last month, the Board of Supervisors adopted a strategic plan for homelessness. I know a lot about this plan because I led the process that created the plan and I wrote the plan. Its goal is to make homelessness rare, brief, and one time. And it has a lot of priorities in it, but the top two priorities, the first among the top priorities is housing, for transitional and permanent housing for the unsheltered population. So this Home Key project fits right into that. This is the purpose of having a strategic plan, so that when an opportunity or a grant comes along, we see that it's a priority in the plan and we go for it. And this is an instance of doing that. So I support the Home Key project. I don't know the details of how the project's going to be managed, but I know that supportive services are going to be provided along with it. And we have an excellent staff at the Department of Health and Human Services to oversee this project. The second priority is homeless outreach. I also wrote a grant having to do with homeless outreach. This provided hundreds of thousands of dollars to the city of Ukiah for homeless outreach, which is a critical aspect of serving this population. It's a bridge to services. People who are unsheltered do not trust do not trust service providers and don't want to participate in a system of care. So homeless outreach is critical. But, you know, since I've been out, since I wrote this grant and my opponent's been in office, these funds have been accumulating. Not a penny's been spent toward outreach.
Okay, so that was about a minute and a half. So we're going to, the same question to you, Mo Mulhern, about the Home Key project and your feelings about that and managing it after the fact for the county. And I'm going to flip this over. There you go.
Sure, yeah, just in regards to that grant, the money's still sitting there. We don't have the employees in any way to implement the grant the way that it was written. So it's unfortunate that the money's still there. But hopefully we'll be able to use it in a way that's appropriate. I think that what we're really talking about is the Home Key project. And the most important thing is that the communication should have occurred with those neighbors before it hit the newspaper. There should have been phone calls. It's really not that hard to pick up the phone and say, hey, we're applying for a grant. Let's talk about this before it hits the newspaper. And communication is key. If we don't communicate with our business owners, they're going to fight every way they can, tooth and nail. And also, the strategic plan does us no good if people don't follow it. And if what our community sees is people just on the streets. I was driving, doing errands the other day, and I saw three people just lying on the streets. You know, we can't expect that our community is going to support the fact that we're bringing in projects like this unless we're communicating and unless we're following through. It's crucial. I'm not opposed to getting grants. You know, I think that it's an opportunity that we may not have had. Not the biggest fan of the location that was purchased, but that wasn't my decision. The Board of Supervisors was given at least a couple of other options that could have worked, maybe could have worked better for the community than the one that they chose. That's a closed session real estate transaction, and I don't know the details of what happened there. I think that moving forward, what's really important is that we are communicating with the community, and the Board of Supervisors did promise that there would be community meetings from Senator McGuire, that they would reach out to the business owners. As a city council member, there was a project proposed by a mental health service provider, and again, no phone call. The first time I read about it when I was picking up the newspaper, and I just feel like that's not the way we should be doing business in a small rural community like this. We need to be communicating with each other and telling the story, talking about who we're helping, talking about why we're doing it. And as much information we can get out to our community, the more that they're going to understand why we would take opportunities to get grants like that.
All right. Thank you. Okay. I need.
Can I make a rebut?
Sure.
Up? Not really rebut, but
no,
just
no, that's
follow
fine.
Up.
Okay, this is Maury Roden making a follow up. Okay. Just to make sure the voices sometimes don't come across.
I'm sorry to interrupt. A few months ago, there was a beautiful example of cooperation between County Health and Human Service staff and the City of Ukiah in clearing an area near the airport, which was a homeless encampment. And it was right when COVID hit. And it was really a beautiful example of the way that we can work together. And I really do believe that the county and the city have the intent to continue doing this. So I feel hopeful that that this is going to continue, this kind of cooperation in dealing with the problem of homelessness.
Okay. Mo, any follow-up to that?
No, I'll just stick what I said. It's about the Best Western project that we were discussing.
Okay. All right. I need to do a legal ID here. I didn't do it at the top of the hour, but I have to do that. So it says we are KZYX Philo at 90.7 FM. We are indeed KZYZ Willits and Ukiah at 91.5 FM. And we also broadcast from Fort Bragg at 88.1 FM. We are in total Mendocino County Public Broadcasting. All right. I have fulfilled our legal obligation there. And you are listening to the candidates for the 2nd District Supervisor's Race for Mendocino County. We're going to go about another 8 minutes or so, and then I am going to open up the lines for you, the listeners and voters, to have succinct questions for these ladies to find out their positions. So when you go to vote, which we all should be doing, you are a well-informed voter. Okay, so we were talking about homelessness, and one of the issues that's been drug out, and the reason I brought this up about the grant and the money for the new hotel that the county's going to take over is, I don't know how many years ago it was now, we passed the mental health bill, Measure B, the money's sitting there, negotiating, going on, huge committees, and as far as an outsider's, I am seeing that nothing's moving and getting anything done. So I'm going to start with Mo Mulhern. Talk to me, tell the listeners, where are you with Measure B? If you're elected to the Board of Supervisors, would this be an issue you would get involved in? Just how are you feeling about Measure B and what's happened and what can happen? Thank you, and I'm going to give you 2 minutes on that. Yes, because that's
okay, thank you. So last year I started attending in person the Board of Supervisors meetings, not really saying anything, just sitting in the back and listening. I've been watching Board of Supervisors meetings on the YouTube channel for a decade or so, but I also have been watching the Measure B meetings. And the first time I was given the opportunity to go to a Measure B meeting, which of course was last year, not during the coronavirus, but physically to walk in that room and you can cut the tension with a knife. It absolutely is a group of people that need they need a leader that's really going to be able to get to the bottom of where they want to go. And so far, just from an outsider's perspective, it appears to be a ping pong match between the Board of Supervisors and the Measure B, with nobody really moving anything forward. And an effective strategy that's worked for the city council is just to get everybody in the room at the same time. We've done this with our planning commission when we're doing the airport land use plan. We've done this with the Ukiah Valley Fire Authority, which we created with the Ukiah Valley Fire District in the city of Ukiah. Get everybody in the room at the same time, figure out what direction we're headed, and stop this sort of back and forth that seems to be occurring without a real plan. I know that as a voter, I talk to many people. We expected to see a noticeable difference on our streets. We also expected to see a noticeable difference in our own families. We expected that if somebody in our family was suicidal or having a mental break, we would be able to call a number and receive support and help no matter what time of the day or night without having to call for law enforcement. And I think that's such a big part of what our community expected, that we were going to see very real change on the streets. And the Measure B committee and the Board of Supervisors have been given opportunities. For instance, Chief Wyatt from the Ukiah Police Department came forward with a plan for the CAHOOTS program, which they offer in Oregon. Sheriff Kendall, thankfully, is now moving forward with a plan to have a mental health expert out with the deputies when they're going on calls. And I hope that plan is successful. Unfortunately, it won't be happening in the city of Ukiah right away, which isn't really the major problem with the city of Ukiah and the county of Mendocino. The collaboration is just not happening. And we really need to see that if we want our community to be successful with dealing with mental health.
All right. Thank you. That was Mo Mulhern. Now we're going to go to Mari Roden. The same question, Measure B, and how do you see it's working and not working, and what would you be able to do as a supervisor? Oh, and I'll put a timer.
In my opinion, it's not as simple. Getting Measure B back on track is not as simple as getting everyone in the same room together. It's bigger than that. Measure B was a great idea. Gratitude to Sheriff Allman for getting this on the ballot. But when the voters voted, they expected a psychiatric health facility, the establishment of a PUF unit, and the establishment of a crisis stabilization unit, a CSU. The problem is that there was no strategic plan, no priority set, either before the ballot measure was written or early afterwards. So there was just money coming in and not a list of priorities about what comes first, what do we spend, and in addition, there's not a budget. Well, because there's no plan, there's no budget associated with the plan, and because of that, there's just been opportunistic spending of this money. Suddenly we have an opportunity for a crisis residential treatment facility, and if we don't spend $3 million right away, we're going to lose the $500,000. Okay, quick, we've got to do that. No, I don't think that's the way we really want to be operating with, this $13 million fund that we have to support a PUF unit and a crisis stabilization unit. So, my understanding, I haven't watched recent Measure B committee meetings, but it's my understanding that the group is considering the Kemper plan as a plan, and that the Board of Supes has asked, I think Ted Williams has asked, for a budget to be associated with the recommendations in the Kemper report. And I think that is an important start. Then the group will be able to say, okay, let's tackle this first and this second and this third. So, no more stumbling. We need a solid, reliable continuum of care for mental health in Mendocino County.
All right. Okay, we're coming close to the half an hour mark, but I want to get one more question in to both of you. I had not realized until today, I took a break from radio and I kind of didn't follow the local stuff. I didn't realize that there was no tax sharing agreement between the city of Ukiah and the county. This had been started, I have to tell you folks, I just did a little research. This got started back in 91, and I thought that there was almost a deal on the table when I left radio in 2009, 2008. And today I found out that there is no tax sharing agreement between the city of Ukiah and the county of Mendocino, where all the development and the income is coming in. So I just want a quick comment from each of you, and I'm gonna start with Mo and give you a minute each. This is an economic issue for the county, and what do you know about it, and is this something that you think you'd be willing to reopen the discussion? So we're going to start with Mo. You got a minute. Go for it, girl.
Yeah, absolutely. This discussion is being led by a second district supervisor that was in control of the conversation that I don't believe has benefited the citizens and the community. It's why I ran for supervisor. I think that we need a different style and attitude in that seat. We need somebody that's going to work with all of the agencies across the board to change the way that we communicate with each other to be able to move forward our goals and objectives. The city of Ukiah is currently having a study to try to figure out what the best way to move forward with a taxation sharing plan is. There's multiple benefits for both the county and the city. Of course, additional tax revenue for the city. The county could relinquish some road miles so that they could pave other roads. There's a lot of opportunities there if we're thinking bigger than just the two of us, if we're thinking about how this benefits the community as a whole.
All right, and then we're going to go to Mari Roden, your comments about that topic. And you got a minute.
The lack of a sales and property tax sharing agreement between the city and county leaves competition the way that land use issues get resolved. Because, as I described earlier, the Ukiah Valley Area Plan, or maybe I didn't describe it earlier, but the people of Ukiah want to see development happen from the inside, from the city of Ukiah out, and not sprawl. So, but sales tax is the really difficult aspect of a tax sharing agreement, because sales tax is lucrative, and neither agency wants to give it up. But, you know, we need to revive the negotiations, the tax sharing negotiations. When I was on the city council, I was on the tax sharing committee for the city, and I worked with John McCowan when he was representing of the county. And those negotiations have been dormant for the last 5 years. So I hope to revive those and build on my role and finally, once and for all, come to an agreement. This isn't rocket science. Other counties have been able to do this. We can do it, too, in a way that is financially beneficial to the city and the county.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. So we're at the bottom almost of the hour, a little after 7:30. And as I said, we are going to open up the phone lines for you, the listeners. I'd like nice, succinct questions. Don't pontificate, no personal attacks, and we want to get as much information out of these candidates as we can this evening. So you can get involved in this discussion at 895-2448, and as the calls come in, we'll be taking them. Otherwise, I'm going to get to continue on with these questions. One thing I wanted to just give each of you a chance. I've been throwing out, well, here we go. See, just as you get started, somebody calls. And my priority is the listeners, always, 895-2448. Let's get our first caller on. Please turn off your radio. And caller, what is your question for these candidates?
Hi, my name is Lucy Kramer. I work for North Coast Opportunities, and throughout the pandemic, the food security issue has grown dramatically. We were in a food crisis prior to the pandemic, and with the current drought expected to get worse, we anticipate that food security, water security, and food sovereignty will likely also be worse. I'm curious what we can expect from these candidates should they become supervisor, how we can expect them to support a burgeoning food system.
All right. Thank you for the question. And let's start with Mo Mulhern. Mo, go ahead. I'm going to give you a minute to answer.
Sure. I mean, I think it's organizations like Lucy's, like NCL, the Community Gardens, and the Minda Lake Food Hub that have truly been a benefit to our community during the pandemic. I was doing a produce box runs up to Brook Trails for them in the beginning to try to make sure that people were having food delivered to them. I think community gardens are vital. It's important that we have them in locations where there's easy access to everybody in the community. And with the City of Ukiah Recycled Water Program, we have some really good opportunities currently at Oak Manor, but we also are seeking a fourth phase that'll take the recycled water program all the way up to the high school in Tagrove Park. And that's really an opportunity to have more access to water to grow more food. I am a self-confessed black thumb, but I did grow enough tomatoes and peppers this pandemic to make too much hot sauce. So definitely a supporter of food security.
All right. Thank you. And Mari Roden, your comments to that? You got a minute?
Well, I think food security in Mendocino County is intimately connected to or inextricably linked to economic security. The two are one and the same. So what we can do is support the efforts of the food hub that buys in bulk produce from our local farms and ranchers and sells it. You know, since COVID-19 and the sheltering in place, the food hub is opened up to local residents. So that benefits farmers and it benefits the residents of Mendocino County. And we can help support the efforts of the food hub and thereby our farmers and ranchers by encouraging all our restaurants, hotels, schools to use the food that's produced by our local farmers. And that, you know, that will, that increases economic security and food security. Also, I just read an article in the Press Democrat the other day on gleaning, and a beautiful program in western Sonoma County about gleaning. And I don't have a specific plan for gleaning, but I think that in a time of food insecurity, that's an important that's also an important project.
All right. And we're going to get another caller on the air. Caller, you're on the air. What is your question for these candidates?
The question is, what is their opinion of the general plan amendment rezoning and subsequent subdividing and housing development of the vineyard, the existing vineyard on Lover's Lane, and how do they see the emergency evacuation of that dead-end road area?
All right. Thank you for that question, and we're going to go with Mari. Why don't you start at this time?
Well, about 10 years ago, the Ukiah Valley residents made clear their vision for this place they call home. And this vision, which was encoded in the Ukiah Valley Area Plan, calls for the preservation of our iconic agricultural lands and open space, and that we would grow from the inside, the core downtown Ukiah, and out as needed. And so I want to support what my constituents say they want, which is the preservation of that land over at Lover's Lane, I call for infill, progressive, forward thinking, smart development within the city limits of Ukiah. When I know that my opponent voted against a conservation easement for that property at Lover's Lane, which would have preserved in perpetuity a portion of that land for agricultural use. And by the way, this is prime ag land.
Okay, and there was something about the egress one for disaster. I believe that was part of the question.
Well, it's just another reason why it's a bad idea to develop over there.
There's obviously, I'm hearing there's one way in and one way out. All right, so Mo Mulhern, your response to that question.
Sure, absolutely. So I did vote against an easement in that area. Basically, because I think that people that are well-meaning and create plans, they have unintended consequences. I used to live at 1019 Despina Drive, which is directly across the street from the Ukiah High School and has a vineyard next to it. And at some point, somebody decided it was really important to keep this ag land. Well, that vineyard is not making anybody any money. And it's essentially wasted space because you could put probably 8 more houses in a neighborhood that is directly across the street from a high school. So I voted no, I did, because I felt like I did not want to set my community up to not be able to use that land 100 years from now, or whatever that might look like. If you've been around the Ukiah Valley, you know Lover's Lane is not sprawl. It's directly across the street from a neighborhood. I used to live in that neighborhood. I run on that street all the time. It's directly across the street from other houses. And yeah, there definitely needs to be traffic mitigation, but it's not one way in and one way out.
All right. Thank you. We have another call with another question, another caller. Caller, you're on the air, and your question for the candidate this evening. Oh, dude, you're breaking up. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Try again. All right, that one did not go through. Don't we love the connectivity in Mendocino County, folks? All right, second district supervisor's race. I have the candidates here. The number is 895-2448 for a question for these candidates so you can be informed. Nobody's calling in right now, so I'm gonna throw out the topic of broadband, because we are sitting here trying to Zoom this debate, which is a totally different thing to try to do. And we had some connectivity problems to begin with, and we know this is a big issue for the county. And so I want to start with Mari. Talk about broadband. What do you feel like you as a supervisor can do to help this county get up to this century? Got a minute
on
that
one. Sure. I want to support the members of the Broadband Alliance that's under the auspices of the Community Foundation, led by Jim Moorhead, who's also an endorser of mine. Obviously, broadband is essential for so many reasons in Mendocino County. I mean, I probably don't need to tell anyone this, but for education, you know, we have a digital divide, you know, that isn't matched. Nobody outmatches us with our digital divide. But, you know, infrastructure is, developing a broadband infrastructure is a hugely expensive undertaking. I'm aware of new developments in technology that are just around the corner, and in fact, they're being piloted right now, where there are drones that are going to be circling around, and we're going to be able to get Wi-Fi in that way. So it might be actually more accessible than we thought prior.
In the future. All right. Mo, your comments about the broadband.
Sure. You know, Mendocino County is a small rural community, and we're not going to have the funds to be able to get broadband access like what we truly need for our community. So it's crucial that we work with our state and regional partners to make sure that they understand our needs. Our Senator McGuire understands our needs, and Assemblymember Wood understands our needs and how important it is that we have broadband technology here. I've been the League of California Cities Railroad Empire Division rep for the 6 years that I've been on the city council. I'm the former president for our charter, and I think it's so important because the cities of Mendocino County all have the same issue. And, you know, we can't even get started about Covelo and all of the struggles that they have up there. You're trying to start a business and distance education your children, and there's just not internet access, and it's 2020, so we need to move these projects forward, but we're not going to be able to do it alone. We need to rely on regional partners to make it happen.
All right, we do have three people on the line. I'm going to get them in as quick as possible. We have our first caller. Caller, you're on the air. What is your question this evening?
Yeah, I was wondering what their stance on the timber industry in our county and hack and squirt, and also the pellet, the burning facilities of power over there in Calpella.
All right, we'll get those into it. All right, real quick, and so we're going to go with, pardon me, Mari Roden, you want to hit those topics?
Well, the view on hack and squirt has been decided by the voters. The voters of Mendocino County declared their opposition to hack and squirt, and as a member of the Board of Supervisors, I support our constituents. In terms of the pellet plant, I've done a little bit of looking into that, and I've learned that it's actually...
Go ahead.
And I've learned that these pellets are actually produced without any toxins, without any poisons. It's pressure applied to wood chips with water, and that the air has been tested around the pellet plant, and it looks, from all appearances, like there are no violations coming from this pellet plant.
Okay.
You know, it's an example of clean, renewable energy as far as I can see. And until I learn anything scientifically based that's different from that, then I support it.
All right. Thank you for that. Okay, Mo Mulhern, what's your response to that question? I'm going to flip this. You got a minute. Whoop.
Sure. Yeah, so Measure V was voted on by the voters, but I personally don't think that we should be using pesticides. In the city of Ukiah, we were approached by community members that wanted us to not use pesticides and herbicides in the parks. So we created a volunteer program to stop that use of those products in the park. And I think that that's really what Mendocino County is wanting, to make sure that we are protecting the environment and we make sure that we know what chemicals are being put on what. And that is really a key issue with the pellet plant in Mendocino County. Again, it's a lack of communication. I was at the Board of Supervisors meeting when the air quality district manager came and did say that the pellet plant was operating within its permits and that it was not causing an environmental hazard. Yet the board didn't take a really strong stance to let the community know that it was safely operating. Of course, we want all of industry to be operating in the correct means with the correct standards.
All right. All right. We're going to get another caller on. They're stacked up. Please be patient, callers. We will get you on. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. What is your question for the candidates?
Hi. I'm calling from the Ukiah area. In the past couple of years, the history of racism in police in America has been brought right to the forefront of a lot of discussions. I'd like to hear what the candidates' views are on these broader topics like Black Lives Matter, and how they relate to Ukiah, and specifically how they think community involvement and community accountability can be increased for local law enforcement.
All right. Okay, let's start with Mari Roden. We'll keep going back and forth. Answer the question. I'll give you a minute.
Yeah. Well, I want to applaud Sheriff Kendall's openness to examine these issues through an oversight committee that's been established, so that Mendocino County can ensure equal treatment by law enforcement to all members of our community. You know, by establishing this oversight committee, it's Mendocino County's way of recognizing that there really is systemic racism in our culture and in our society, and that people of color suffer disproportionately in our communities. So, you know, I support the efforts of the advisory committee, and I should also say that I'm proud to say that I'm endorsed by Troil Tagnoli. She is the leader of Black Lives Matter and is the one who instigated this advisory committee.
All right. Mo Mulhern, your response to that question.
Sure. I'm really proud of the work that the Ukiah Police Department did very quickly after the death of George Floyd. Our police chief, Justin Wyatt, implemented the 8 Can't Wait policies. We have transparent policing policies all listed on ukiahpolice.com. If people have questions, he's been very good about answering and getting back to people with their questions, answering right away. I think that there's really a bigger issue at play, and so the Vice Mayor Juana Roscoe and myself are on creating an equity and diversity ad hoc that will include a variety of community members, really to look at the city as an agency, but also to look at the community. Where are we not providing for people? Where are people disproportionately affected based on color because of income or nationality or where they're from? So we're working on that at the city of Ukiah. And also I did host a Zoom presentation. Pandemic campaigning during a pandemic is interesting. So we did have a Zoom presentation with Sheriff Kendall called Allies for Equity to work towards enhancing public awareness about what law enforcement is working on.
All right. And we're going to move on to another caller. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. What is your question for the candidates?
Oh, is that me?
Yes, please. What's your question?
Oh, good. Yeah, I have two questions.
Nope, yet one, because we got callers. One question. Real quick.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay, yes. This is regarding Ms. Mulhern. She voted against the ag land, against keeping ag land on Lover's Lane, ag land. And I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that she received a significant donation from the California Real Estate Association Political Action Committee.
All right, we'll ask her and take that off the air. Mo, that's directly at you. You want to answer that real quick?
No, that's not why. I already said why, because I'm looking forward to protecting future generations and their ability to have homes in our community. Also, Lover's Lane is close enough to have walking and biking and active transportation, of which I'm an advocate for. I grew up in that neighborhood. I walked and biked all over this town. It's right there. It's next to the Lover's Lane neighborhood.
All right. Well, that's a good response. Okay. Let's take our last caller. Caller, you're on the air. Well, maybe not. We can get another one. Caller, one quick question. You're on the air now, right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
So my question is about solar power. We have excellent insulation here in the county. We have a history of innovation with solar power. And yet we've just not seen enough solar energy being built and onto existing and new construction. And I'm wondering it's also an economic issue. Obviously, some people feel they can't afford it. So I'm wondering what these candidates would say about how to get more people involved, and whether funding, it will create clean jobs, all that kind of stuff, good paying jobs.
All right, we're going to get that to them. All right. Mari Roden, you want to go with that first?
Yeah, there are innovative ways to help homeowners fund projects like that. And when I was on the city council, the city of Ukiah, we needed to get people as houses sold to fix their sewer laterals, which is an expensive proposition. This is the sewer line that goes out to the middle of the street from people's homes. Many of them are clay. They were leaking, leaching. It was a big problem. And so there's a way, there are ways to postpone, to defer, not postpone, but to defer the immediate expenses by tying it up into a future sale of a home or incremental payments on through property taxes. And we could probably do something similar with to help people afford solar panels. And we can also streamline the process. I don't know exactly what the process is for getting solar panels in the county for commercial buildings or private. But if there are any hurdles that make it difficult for people to do that, we need to eliminate those.
All right. Mo Mulhern, your time.
Yeah, so the city of Ukiah has solar programs where we work with collaborative partners to be able to offer grants and more opportunities for homebuyers to put solar panels on. I think that streamlining permits is important, but also there's state regulations that are coming down that will require solar panels. I think that there are going to be opportunities. What I'm really focus on currently is trying to make sure the city of Ukiah, as the agency, the electric utility, has solar panels and solar access. So we've been working towards some solar panel projects at the wastewater treatment plant, at the softball fields, and those would be big projects and a great benefit to our community.
Excuse me.
One last thing I would like to just add is that, of course, we should try to reduce the fees also. We should incentivize people to do the right thing for the climate.
That's Mari Roden that was saying that. Mo, any other comments on that?
No.
Okay, good. All right, well, we have about 7 minutes left, and I'm going to give each one of the candidates, we've got people on the phone line, but we are going to need to give them some wrap-up time, and I'd like to not have to push everybody on this. So I had said I'd give you 2 minutes. We've got a little bit more time. You can take about 2.5 minutes if you need to. But I want to start with Mo Mulhern. You want to give us a wrap-up of why you're running, you know, give us the last chance of finding out everything we can about you, and then do include contact information. So here you go.
Yeah. Absolutely. I ran for city council in 2014 basically because I was mad, because I wanted change, because I wanted our voices to be heard. I called my campaign in 2014 a seat at the table. I barely won the election by 24 votes. And in 2018, I was the highest vote getter and served as the mayor of Ukiah for last year. I decided to run for supervisor because I think that there are many things that I can't affect change on as a city council person. And that's what's really driving my passion and moving forward with this campaign. Like I said in the beginning, campaigning during a pandemic is interesting, but I've done my best to get the information out there. I have a coffee and conversation meeting every morning or every Thursday morning on Zoom from 8:15 to 8:45. And the link is on my Facebook page. My website is moformendo.com. That's Mo, the number 4, M-E-N-D-O.com. My cell phone number is 707-391-3664. I am extremely passionate about this community, and I think that I have proven myself as a council member, as somebody that's fairly new to the political scene, to be able to move things forward, and I look forward to serving as your next county supervisor.
Well, that was quick. Okay. Mari, Roden, I'm going to give you some time here. My little timer thing is off, but we'll figure it out. Wrap up and information, contact for information.
Yes, sure. I'm here today because I love Mendocino County. The Ukiah Valley has been my home for almost 30 years.
We've had good times, but recently, to put it lightly, not such good times. I've made it my business to be involved in every aspect of making our community better. Founding a company that has won over $100 million in grant funding for programs that benefit the people and the lands of Mendocino County. During my three terms on City Council, we worked extremely hard to fight our way back from the 2008 financial crisis, and in 2021, we'll do it again. And we'll fight our way back from this pandemic. Having raised my two sons here, I will do everything in my power to defend the people and the environment of Mendocino County, to prevent injustice, economic security, and to fight climate change. I'm proud to be endorsed by the Inland Mendocino Democratic Club, Vice Mayor Juan Orozco, the Vice Mayor of the City of Ukiah, Juan Orozco, Second District Supervisor John McCowan, and hundreds more community leaders. But building a better Mendocino County will take all of us, each doing what we can. I'm ready to work hard for you and to serve as your Second District Supervisor, and I ask for your vote. I can be reached by email at info@marirodin.com, one word, all lowercase. And I also have a website, www.marirodin.com. Up there, you can find my platform. You can see the list of my endorsers and other interesting tidbits.
Well, you're both just so fast and didn't take the whole time, so we are coming up. But I want to thank you both for coming on the air. I want to thank you both for committing to run for this position. And I will be wrapping up here afterwards. So thank you both. Good luck. And we'll talk to you, one of you, after the fact as a supervisor, hopefully. Thank you so much. All right, folks. So You've been listening to me, Karen Ottoboni, interviewing Amari Roden and Mo Mulhern, who are both candidates for the second supervisor's district, which is basically Ukiah. I want to thank all the listeners that called in. Those were very good questions. And considering what I listened to and watched last night, doggone it, do we do it good here in Mendocino County. And I have 1 minute left, I'm told, a little bit less than that. So I want to tell you that right now, KZWAX, we're in our fall quiet drive. It started, okay? Instead of doing a regular 10-day fall fun drive, we're taking just a little bit of time out of each one of our programs to ask you to contribute to our local community radio station. That's right here, what you're listening to. And make a donation and become a member. Renew your membership. If it's been more than a year since you donated. If not, add on to your membership. But I personally feel like this is an important asset to the community. It gets you the kind of information you need. So please take the time, go to our website, kzyx.org, use the donate button, send us a check to P.O. Box 1, Philo, or during our business days, please give us a call at 895-2324. Thanks for tuning in, and do go and vote.